Yes, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, listeners. You are joining Free Kick for the first time in 2026 for our launch episode for the 2026 AFLW fantasy season. It is back. And yeah, to celebrate the launch, I have two of my esteemed colleagues and co-hosts, Willow and Jono. How are you both? And I'm going to go specifically Jono to lead off.
I'm pretty good, thanks. It's good to be back. You know, I feel like we're coming off the highs of last season. They were pretty exciting, and it may be a long time between drinks, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back and ready. I can see a lot of excitement coming up for this season and what we're about to talk about.
There is excitement, and there is also tumult. There is a certain, you know, je ne sais, explosion in differences that we are going to see in this fantasy season. Willow, are you keen and excited?
Oh, I'm very, very excited for this season. I'm excited for the AFLW season in general, but the fantasy is going to be really, really interesting this year. As you have alluded to, Liam, some changes to the way we're going to be playing our game. I think the thing that we are probably the most looking forward to, though, is the lack of double week games. I think that's something we can all agree on.
Yes, let's make that very clear up front for anyone. You never have to worry about double game weeks.
Never say never.
Okay. You never have to worry about them in the year of our Lord 2026. You know, they were just something for 2024. But yes, let's jump straight to the big news. The volume of major changes that have come to the AFLW fantasy platform this year. We have updated the number of players that are in the game, and there is also a difference in the types of positions. I'll lead off, though. We'll have a bit of a chat about what's different about the players on your field. You'll see that whereas previously you would have 21 players, you had 5 players on your bench and 16 on field, split 5 defenders, 5 midfielders, 1 ruck, 1 forward. We've had a bit of an upgrade. We are no longer at 21. We are now at a whopping 29 players in the squad. So what does that look like? You've now got 6 defenders on field and 2 defenders on the bench, 8 midfielders on field, 2 midfielders on the bench, 1 ruck on the field, 1 on the bench, 6 forwards, 2 bench, and then we have 1 bench utility. For those of you who've played AFL Men's Fantasy before, that is a very similar structure to what you're used to with the 30 on field. The only difference is 1 fewer rucks. In terms of positions, though, Jono, what's different? What is going to be, what's the big addition this year?
This year, we are introducing one particular type of dual position player that is DPP, for those who have heard it before, and it is the mid-forward type exclusively. So basically, there are going to be players you can put in your midfield or in your forward line. You will have the option, which is an exciting change.
You assume that's going to change a bit of strategy, Willow, right?
I'd say so. I think it's probably not going to be as major as it is in the men's game, where we see introduction of DPPs during the year. Because it's only the one position, it's mostly just going to give us a bit of flexibility. I think most of the mid forwards are probably just going to be thought of as forwards, but it does mean that if you do have, say, an unfortunate injury in your midfield to, say, a Jazz Garner or a Bree Davey, I don't know, I've never experienced it myself, you might be able to chuck one of your forwards in there and get another forward player who might be, say, an up-and-coming scorer. So you will have a little bit of extra tactical things to think about, but it shouldn't change the way you think too much.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, yeah, a flexibility thing for your, particularly your benches, for your rookies, as you're going through the season, the ability to have what will be, you know, greater ability to pick the best rookie in a given week versus feeling like you're forced to, I've got to pick a rookie in a certain line. That mid-forward bench is going to get an extra couple of spots effectively for both the areas.
Yeah, I don't think there's a worse feeling than when you're really keen on a player. You've set up your trades to be grabbing them, and then suddenly you've copped an injury in a different line and you can't do it no matter what you do. I think the increased flexibility here is going to be very, very helpful.
Yeah, and I think it's going to also change the way our starting teams look a lot. It's probably going to see us. So we're definitely going to have to pick more rookies. And that is going to mean that we're going to want more ability to swap and pick between the different lines. But in terms of right here, right now, before diving into the strategy, we will get through that the rest of this preseason. It's just big to know 29 players on field and mid-forward DPP. Now, if anyone asks you why only mid-forward, that comes down to champion data. They have a certain number of positions assigned to every player in the AFLW. For most, it's, you know, general forward, tall forward, general defender, key defender. There is, however, one position called mid-forward. And so for that handful of players who have that position, they get the mid-forward DPP. That is why it is the way it is. And it's certainly going to be a fascinating addition to the game this year. Another thing, it's a bit new this year. I know we said there's no double game weeks, but we do have the fascinating addition of a split round one. And it's not an even split either. We have one game happening on the Sunday before the weekend after where a majority of the teams are playing. Jono, do you want to kind of talk us through what's going on there?
Yes. So basically over that first round, we're going to have a rolling lockout. So basically on the 9th of August, when that first game between St Kilda and Carlton happens, all the players on those teams, if they are in your side or if they are outside of your squad, that is going to lock in place and you won't be able to change those players going forward. But you will be able to change the rest of your squad. And that's going to keep happening with each game over that first round until eventually we lock out.
Yeah. And you'll be happy to know that we'll be doing a whole bunch of extra stuff to kind of coax you through that split round. We will be thinking about making sure we're very clear on the St Kilda and Carlton players that we are most interested in picking, and as a result, who are most likely to make it into our fantasy teams. There are going to be definitely some of them that we will be picking for our sides. One that we might actually jump straight into now because they were the subject of one of the biggest trades in this off-season. So yeah, that is something that everyone needs to keep a track of. Look, I may have jumped the gun slightly. I said we were going to talk about trades, but let's have a talk about what else has happened during the 2026 offseason. Let's talk about the players and their prices. We've got Laura Gardner and Ebony Marinoff as the two most expensive players. As the two highest averaging players last year, 128 and 127 averages respectively. But Willow, what is different about those players this year?
What is different is that for all of the coaches who played last year, those players will look really, really cheap. And that is because we have a change to the way the salary cap is working. So Laura Gardner, most expensive player in the game at $1,380,000 to your salary cap, which is still a pretty big hit. But the player that we've focused a bit on because they were the most expensive to start last season was Ebony Marinoff, who is actually $500,000 cheaper. Considering that last year they were averaged at a top price of $1.878 million from an average of $145, which is still ridiculous. So they've changed the magic number. The salary cap has been changed somewhat to accommodate the bigger squads.
Yeah, so your salary cap number is now above $18 million, whereas previously it had been in the $15 million range. All this in an effort to be still allowing us to pick some of these premium players in bigger squad sizes, whilst also making sure that we are going to have lots of rookies to pick around them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Liam. We've gone from having, we've talked about the top end here, but what's changed at the bottom end? What's happening with our rookie priced players?
Big thing is no longer is 300K the cheapest player you can have in AFLW fantasy. That is now 200K, and ooh, that gives us masses of flexibility, a massive ability to pick more, particularly of those higher priced rookies, those highly drafted rookies that previously had been up at 450K. They're now going to be maxed out at 300. That's huge. That's huge for the brand. That's huge for the game. That's huge for your benches. And that's really what it's in an effort to get. It's make sure that we can get all these rookies onto our benches.
I guess the other question there, Liam, is with this sort of flatter salary cap structure, are we expecting the massive jumps in prices like we've seen in previous years?
We're still going to be seeing changes in prices. That is certainly not going to change. It's not going to change as much as the rest of the structural changes. But I think what's going to be important, I think the biggest thing to talk about now is that previously we had squads of 21. We had 33 trades for the season, three trades each week for the 12 rounds of the AFLW season. We're now going to 33 trades for a squad of 29. That means that the rookie players and your premiums, you need to make sure that you're picking players that you think are good. And so having a bit of a more equitable salary cap structure in our teams gives us the ability to pick more of particularly those rookies that play early. Whereas in the past, we didn't have many spots for them. They were often all midfielders. We were having to whittle it down to just a couple of rookies and then taking stabs elsewhere. Well, that's a bit about what has happened in the off-season. Players have gotten cheaper. But players have also been traded across the real AFLW teams. And I think that's the first thing we want to talk about from the off-season. I talked about Carlton players. I'm going to lead off with a trade that I want to talk about, and that is Claudia Whitford going from the wooden spooning Gold Coast Suns across to Carlton, where I think that she will be one of the most important AFLW fantasy options this year. However, there were a whole stack of other massive trades. Hatchard has gone to Gold Coast. Taylor Smith, former league leading goal kicker, has gone to Sydney. Eden Zanka, another league leading goal kicker, has gone to Fremantle. Zoe Prowse, the important young utility for Adelaide, has moved across to Essendon. Grace Egan, former Richmond midfielder, has moved to the Adelaide Crows. Ellie Hampson has gone across to Port Adelaide. Alongside Claudia Whitford, Lauren Bella and Brooke Boilow have moved to Carlton. And then one of the most important AFLW fantasy defenders, Tilly Lucas-Rod, alongside Poppy Bolts, have gone to the GWS Giants. Those were the big names from a real AFLW perspective. There were also some very fantasy-relevant names in there. But if I had to throw it to the pair of you to talk about maybe some fantasy-relevant movements, who are you looking at?
I'll probably start off then. I'm pretty excited with what's happening at Richmond. I think there's a lot of change going on this off-season. And Dana East coming across from Fremantle and Georgia Stubbs from North Melbourne are both very, very talented players. And I think are going to feature pretty heavily in that midfield rotation at some point this year. So they're two that I'm very keen to keep an eye on.
So Dana East from the West is coming East.
That's exactly right. Just to keep things clear in everyone's mind. Yeah.
Yep. East has come from the West East. Perfect. Willow, what do you think?
I think the mid forward DPP can probably be best utilized by a player like Anne Hatchard. The Anne Hatchard one really, really interests me. I think the other one that I'm actually quite interested in is a less low-key one, which is, we're heading back to the West, which is Keely Skepper and Ellis Locum going to the West Coast Eagles. So the Eagles midfield probably hasn't quite had the depth that it's needed in a few of the last seasons that we've seen. Keely Skepper, formerly a very, very good scorer at Carlton, only averaged 35 last season, fell out of favour, and is now going to the Eagles, hopefully to get a bit more opportunity again. Ellis Locum, untried, also sounds like could be in that midfield group. Two cheap options that could be very, very fantasy relevant, much like our Richmond players who have gone from West to East.
That is beautiful. Excellent summary. Couldn't agree more. Let's also talk about, though, not just the trade movements, but some retirements or players who are injured or inactive for the season. Jono, do you want to give us a quick rundown on the key names that we need to think about?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of players that we're used to seeing on the field that are going to be disappearing this season. So obviously the big headline that everyone's heard about recently is Chelsea Randall retiring from the game, an absolute champion. But the Adelaide Crows have a couple other players who won't be there this season. Daniel Paredes, who formerly known as Daniel Ponta, is going to be inactive for the season due to pregnancy. And then Stevie Lee Thompson has also retired at the end of last season. Absolute superstar ruck Breanne Harrington is also going to be missing this season for the Blues. with her pregnancy. And then Kat Smith at the Giants retired. Georgia Clayton is also going to be inactive this season. Meg McDonald, the former captain of Geelong, has retired. Emily Everest has done her ACL, is going to be inactive for the season for the Hawks, alongside Eileen Gilroy, who has retired as well. Jody Hicks at Richmond, who played quite a few games for them last year after moving across from the Giants a couple seasons back, has retired. Rebecca Privatelli, who was kind of that key target for the Swans for quite a few years there, has retired as well. And then over in the West, we've got Ali Drennan, also inactive for 2026. And a little bit less West, but still West, Maggie Gorham at the Bulldogs is going to be inactive in 2026 as well. This is just a lot of the players who played plenty of games last season. There's a lot more players who are inactive or retired, but plenty of whom were best 21 names as well. Players like Anya Tighe, who's going to be stepping aside this season again. But this list, I suppose, that I've given is just players who played quite a few games in 2025.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of things that point in the direction of changing winds at the Adelaide Crows. Chelsea Randall, Daniel Paredes, Stevie Lee Thompson, Anne Hatchard, and then new coach, because Matthew Clark is gone, and in his stead is Ryan Davis. A lot of coach movement this offseason, more so than I can remember. So it's obviously a new coach for Adelaide. Mick Stanier has gone from Melbourne to Geelong. So he's moved west. Melbourne has brought in Tom Wilson. Richmond has brought in Jared Donders. Sydney has brought in Colin O'Riordan. And then Port Adelaide also had as a new coach, which is not in the run sheet at the moment. If you guys could just bump for me, just give me a little bit of background, that'll be great.
I think we've got one very, very excited Geelong fan on the podcast
today. Glenn Strawn. We don't need to talk about Geelong.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know anything about Geelong and I've never had anything to do with Geelong. Some very exciting coaching things. And I think we've already talked a little bit about Adelaide, but with so many players moving, a new coach, I think they're going to be one of the most fascinating teams this season. And I think that Melbourne coaching swap as well, we saw just how good Melbourne were going at the end of last year. The three of us were at the prelim final where Melbourne jumped out of the blocks and they made North Melbourne look beatable, which is something that can't be said very often. How does the new coach come in and make that a thing? How do they use this group to the best ability and take over on something that was clearly working pretty well? And I'm hoping that Mick Stanier just instantly implants that straight into Geelong and we just go on and we don't lose a game ever again. But yeah, it's going to be absolutely fascinating. And then Jared Donders, as we said, Richmond, who knows what was happening at Richmond last season. Yeah, I think it's going to be so fascinating. Yeah, I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating how some of these coaches sort of adapt to a lot of the new rules as well. I think we talked a bit about it last year, but teams are really pushing for fast ball movement, forward handball, things like that. And I think some of the teams that have new coaches were... some of the teams are a little slower on the uptake, so I think there's a few game style changes which will be very fascinating from a fantasy perspective.
I think it's just fascinating to see that so many of the league's best fantasy scorers have new coaches. So Ebony Marinoff has Ryan Davis, and Laura Gardner has Colin O'Riordan. Obviously, Mon Conti has been one of the perennially highest scoring fantasy players. New coach as well. Kate Hoare has been someone in and out of our sides very frequently. The, you know, swag of Geelong players. You'll see this year we have a new highest price forward in Michaela Bowen, but you've obviously got the more well-known AFL fantasy, AFLW stars in Georgie Prasparkas, Amy McDonald, Nina Morrison. They will have a new coach in Mick Stanier. Going to be a massive preseason for watching what new coaches are doing to game plans that have previously fostered extremely high scores. I think that Noffy and Gardner are both big watches because, you know, Ebony Marinoff is the captain but had been under the one coach for her entire career. It'll be fascinating to see if she's given the same license, the same role. Does she still have that scoring power? And then for someone like Gardner, who took the leap up last season into the upper of echelons. Is she going, because it wasn't a successful season for Sydney. It was so unsuccessful, in fact, that they didn't hold on to their coach. It's going to be a case of, is she given the license to be not the most efficient user of the ball by foot, but so easily capable of finding space for handball receives and short marks across the ground. I am fascinated to see what becomes of all of those options, alongside the fact that, Glenn Strawn, the player that the coach I was obviously most excited to talk about, probably comes into the team with the most potential for fantasy upticks. And so let's move across to the thing to kind of wrap this all up. Like, of all of these changes, of free agency, of retirements and coaches, what are the situations you're most interested to dive into from a fantasy perspective? What are the, the most prospective minds that we've got going? I think Port Adelaide is ripe amongst them. We have constantly seen a lack in desire from the Port Adelaide Power to look for 40 marks on the 45 and to try and control the ball, often being a straight down the corridor team constantly. And that probably has hampered some of their fantasy stars from scoring more points. And I think Abby Dowrick has been that example for most of her career. I wonder what Glenn might do, having come across from Carlton, who were a really solid scoring team last year, particularly the back end of the season. I think that he comes into a team that could ultimately have, important players across all four lines in our fantasy squads. You've got Dowrick, you've got Schultz, you've got Ella Heads, you've got Piper Window. You just have a whole swag of options on every line that could be Port Adelaide, fantasy bonanza.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of the names you rattled off there are also some of the most promising junior scorers we've ever seen. I mean, Sinead Goody's numbers were off the chart in the Sandford W back in the day.
I think another player that I'm super keen to see how they go is Ella Heads. We knew how good she was as a scorer at Sydney, came across to a game style that doesn't suit kick mark defenders, and still averaged a pretty respectable 65 last year. I mean, you add two or three extra kick marks to that, that's a premium defender if I've ever seen one. So some really interesting options coming out of Port Adelaide.
And this is a tidbit that I found out, and you may hear it on a later preseason preview. Laura Gardner's VFLW midfield coach has come on as an assistant at Port Adelaide this season. So, not to say that it's a one-for-one, but it's a prospective ground for more scoring potential. Is there any, I think we should probably also talk about Adelaide. We've mentioned it that many times at this point. New coach, is Noffy still going to score? There are so many players out from that team last year. Hatchard and Ponta, the two biggest among them. If you had to pick one player that you expected to take the bulk of the points, who would it be?
I think at this point, we've all brought it up to each other individually. It's got to be Tia Charlton. I mean, there's not many players in that Adelaide side who are, I suppose, is ready-made and looking for opportunity in that midfield, but have just been unable to break in because you've got that consistent, reliable talent that have been getting it done for years. So I think this is the year we're finally going to see Tia have the opportunity to step up and show what they can do.
I think it's been fascinating that we've all brought it up independently of each other. And I want to add the detail that clearly other AFLW clubs are talking about the fact she wasn't getting time because she kept being a target in the offseason of there were rumours abound about X team and Y team making an offer to Tia Charlton.
Yeah, I think it's wild because she's still so young, but has 60 games worth of experience. So she's obviously got a lot of upside there, but we still haven't seen it. But for most players, that's a veteran career. It's such a fascinating point in her career to take that next step.
Well, let's talk about a couple of other options, because I think we're all hot on Tia Charlton, who is a forward this year. I think she is one of the first forwards that I pick. Indy Rashid is another player that I think we need to talk about. Came in with some pretty stellar numbers in the Sandford W, a high pedigree, highly drafted, one of the top SA recruits when she came in. And then I also think that Sarah Goodwin was someone that we saw take the leap last year with some massive scores. I think it was a certain game against Gold Coast where she might have even outscored Marinoff in that game. I think that there are a couple of other options to really take up that, you know, second in command option alongside Noffy.
Do you have any interest in Grace Egan?
Oh, of course, Grace Egan. Sorry, I may have been a bit harsh on Grace Egan just then. She's definitely shown herself to be a capable scorer. I think she's probably plays a similar game to Noffy. I don't know if they need another version of that in their midfield, but stands to reason that this is another experienced player and who's probably, of all of the options we've just mentioned, the one who has the most career minutes as an inside mid. Wouldn't be surprised if she gets a whole bunch of time early in there. All right, let's move along, unless we want to talk about anything else. I want to just talk quickly about the draftees.
Love the draftees.
As we go through this preseason, I'm going to be digging into the notes of all of the different clubs, listening to all the interviews that we can. I'm going to throw to you, Jono. Give us a list of the ones that you're most interested in talking about at this point in the preseason.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent coming through the draft. I think I've just put out a few names here that I think are, I suppose, the early contenders for people that I'm expecting to debut early and look like they are going to have, you know, prominent fantasy careers ahead of them. The Giants had picks 2 and 3 in the draft, and they've drafted Scarlett Johnson and Kiera Yerbury, both who look like very, very exciting mid-forward mixes. The Crows picked up Chloe Bowne, who I'm very excited to talk about and is the first player that comes to mind when we talk about a player that might get opportunity in that Adelaide midfield after Tia Charlton. Sydney has picked up Alex Nayland, Collingwood Imogen Trengrove. The Bulldogs picked up Mizuki Brothwell as a defender. And then the Gold Coast picked up so many players in this draft. It's actually unbelievable. I think they had 6 of the top 15 picks, which is just unbelievable.
Absolutely wild. The amount of talent they've managed to bring in.
Yeah, unbelievable. But I think Sonny Lappin, Ava Usher, and Georgia Davis are three players that I'm expecting we're going to be seeing a lot of, and a lot of quite early as well.
Yeah, that recruiting class for the Suns across their last couple of seasons, the volume of players they've had come out of their academy is truly ridiculous. As we get to the end of it, if we want to talk about one player that we haven't mentioned so far that is near the top of your first picked in your fantasy side, who would it be? I'm going to go first. It's Havana Harris. Talked about by Lily Mithen as the unicorn. She is a forward this year, priced in the 60s. I think she's just looked so good. I think that she will be the focal point for the entire team. That to me stands out as a potential superstar, 80 plus. This is, you know, Bonnie Toogood, you know, Mark II. Sounds perfect, right?
Especially given I think there's a lot of ruck minutes in there as well. I think we know that Havana Harris can pretty much do everything. Lauren Bell is now gone. They shed a lot of their ruck depth. I mean, with the exception of the various Davis sisters, I think Darcy Davis will probably get the first crack at it. But I think that the ruck options are very scant at the Gold Coast, which means there's going to be time around the ball for Havana Harris. I am very excited to see what she can produce this year.
I think to say I'm excited would be an understatement. Willa, you ably helped me talk about Havana Harris. Who is your, you know, most highly picked player? Well, the highest on your list that we haven't already talked about.
Yeah, the highest on my list, I think a player that I'm like really interested in picking this season because I almost never seem to pick a premium ruck is actually Matilda Schultz. And it's partly because I think that just the way that Port Adelaide could go, if Matilda Schultz ends up taking some marks that aren't just super high-flying hangers, I reckon Matilda Schultz is essentially the next Mim Strom, the ruck that's going to, you know, take the competition by storm. And it's a player that I've never gone after a ruck like that, and that's why I decided to go for something different this year.
I think that that could be an improvement to your AFLW fantasy strategy.
I think it probably would, which is why I thought, you know what? What could I do differently? Hey, maybe picking a ruck that actually scores. Like, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, we're also seeing the ruck changes coming in, where, you know, you're no longer crossing in the center line. And I do think that a tall, high jumper like Matilda Schultz is going to absolutely dominate under these conditions, if she wasn't already.
Yeah, I think there's just so much upside.
Already penciled her in. Hmm. I'd already penciled her into my side. Like, I think she's going bigger and better things, and she's already, you know, average over 95.
Absolutely.
Jono, who's your player? Who's your high on the pick list so far? Who's already made it in your squad?
Yeah, look, I mean, I had mentioned her name before, but Chloe Bowne is one that I really think is going to be one of the rookies to watch this year. We're talking best and fairest in the Coates Talent League. Averaged 125 playing down there for fantasy points per game. I think with the opportunity coming in the Adelaide midfield, that's a player that I'm very, very keen to watch over this preseason. And another is, it's more of a loose concept, I suppose, but the Hawks have lost a lot of talent coming off that half-back line and a lot of how they transition forward through the wing. So Emily Everest, Tilly Lucas-Rodd, Eileen Gilroy, all out of that side. And I think the Hawks are going to start experimenting a little bit off half-back. One of the players that I have heard about playing back there is a former midfield draftee of the Hawks, Lavinia Cox. And I'm very, very interested to see if she does move to halfback as a distributor. That is one to watch that I definitely have penciled in my watch list.
Lavinia Cox is not a name that I had thought about at any point this offseason.
No, I'm not confident on it, but it's one that I'm willing to throw out as a complete smoky in our first episode for the season.
That is the smokiest of the smoky, but you know it is going to be tough at you know playing as a midfielder. But I think it's worthwhile throwing that name out there.
Mm.
Well, I think now is just time to we're nearly time to wrap it all up. Let's just talk about though what free kick content is going to look like for season 2026 on the official AFLW fantasy platform through the AFLW website. You will be getting this episode, surprisingly, our line-by-line preview series. You'll be getting articles written by myself and Jono on the website talking about the players to pick for the upcoming season. We've got a whole bunch of content that comes out around the practice matches, which are happening in a few weeks. And then you'll be getting a whole bunch of things coming out as the season wraps around. You might get a few team releases as well. And then on the Free Kick podcast pathways, you'll be getting our club by club episodes, which have already started. They started yesterday with the Gold Coast Suns, which is why you know, if you have been listening and not surprised, that Havana Harris is someone that I'm extremely excited to pick for this year. You'll also, and that means that for every one of those team previews, you will be getting an interview with a player, which is extremely important to us. You'll be getting daily uploads on weekdays. So that is going to see a lot of content getting pumped out across the season. In general, though, you'll be getting our team previews Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then it will be an official AFLW fantasy podcast episode Mondays and Fridays. Don't hold us to that. Things do change. There are still some teams out there that are holding us to ransom with player interviews, which is really making our life just a delight. It's a bumper episode. It is an absolute bumper. Oh, it's a bumper preseason. I talked about it on our little season trailer that we are, you know, things are cranking at the Free Kick Fantasy Content Factory. That has been at the launch. So go over to the AFLW Fantasy website now. You can start making your team. There will be a whole bunch of things over on the AFLW website this week and in the coming weeks on the best players to pick. Get picking. It is the start of what will be an awesome season. There's a whole bunch of changes, a whole new UI to look at. Hopefully, it will be the best season that we've had so far. signing off for now, but don't worry, we are in for a big offseason, well, big preseason.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, can't wait for this season to get ahead. And look, maybe this will be the first season that I finally knock off Liam in AFLW Fantasy. I believe, apparently, top 20 last year was not enough. We've got to keep going higher. That's going to be the plan.
I was not going to mention our ranks from last year for this entire episode, but now that you have, look, this is my one time.
Boo.
Jono, you and I both finished inside the top 20 last year, and you know where we currently rank? Zero. Zero. That doesn't matter anymore. It is completely gone. That is in the rearview mirror. We are ranked zero. Everyone is ranked zero. We are here in a new season with a new format, new positions, new structure. Everything is new and everything is different, and we can't rely on last year.
Absolutely.
But I did also beat you. Yes, I did also.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I was also there.
There we go. That's it. That's the one mention. Willow, yes, you were also ranked in the rankings. That is very correct. That is very true. All right, let's sign it off, everyone. That has been a nice, tidy sub 40 minute episode. I'm sure we will be doing that for the entire not season whatsoever. We have so many things to talk about. Signing off for now. Ciao.
Yeah.
Bye.